It's been a while since I've done a show, and I thought, well, I probably, you know, I've just been, again, here's the excuse, really busy, long days, working weekends too sometimes, so summer flies by, and then maybe things slow down a little bit this time of year. And I can't imagine what people are, what's going on in your life? What is something that affects you? I think all of us are probably affected by what we see in the news, even if you don't watch a whole lot of it, and the sources we trust. So I guess I wanted to ask a question as to what you believe and who do you trust? Not so much what you believe, but who do you trust? You know, it seems like it's harder and harder to trust anyone, any of the sources that we call our national media sources. From my perspective, I find it more and more, I don't think any of them are telling us the whole truth, because if they were, then we would know about certain things that have been, I believe, withheld from us for a long time. So I think there's probably an agenda. We have to remember that these are major companies, that the number one goal is not to inform us, but it is to make a profit. So there is an agenda going on I think, all sides. Somebody not long ago, it was a while back, posted on our Facebook page with the radio station and said, why are you running Fox News and carrying fake news? And my response to that person was, I think they're all fake, something to that effect. And I don't trust one source over another. So it is what it is. I don't control what the radio station, as far as what they program. I have nothing against Fox News or really most of the news outlets out there. I think most of those people are just doing their job. And there are those maybe higher up that understand what the real goal is. And I believe that's to not reveal certain things, to have a certain slant. So as I look at this, there are things I wanted to bring up when it comes to trusting sources. Because really, ultimately, the only source we really need to trust is ourselves. And you say, well, how does that work? I guess if you haven't done that a lot in your life, or maybe developed that intuition, but even then you could be wrong, right? We could all be wrong on things. Even psychics and mediums, maybe you trust them. They can be wrong. I think any good psychic or medium or whoever, channeler, is going to say, use your own discernment, because maybe you don't agree with it or see it that way, or maybe it's not for you, or maybe they're even wrong. And the one thing I've learned about talking with psychics and mediums, they also have egos, and sometimes they kind of fall in love with what they're talking about, and I think it limits them. So they get caught up in their own, what they think is their own truth, and I'd much rather look at all of the above and draw my own conclusion as to what I believe could be the truth, if that's what I'm seeking. So, and nothing against anybody that does things like that. You know, it's easy to fall into that trap. It's easy to start, the ego is always going, yeah, but I'm important. Yeah, but I'm wonderful. And so it's always there waiting for an opportunity to take over and make you think you're more than what you're supposed to be, which is your message. Your message is the most important thing. If you're a psychic or a medium or a healer or whatever, it's about the service. It's not about you. Because really, you know, from my perspective, we are all one. We are all the same. We are all came from the same place. Therefore, we're really kind of all one. And ego so quickly wants to jump in and go, but I deserve some recognition, or what I say is very important. And it's like, no, it's not. Not any more than anybody else. You might have some insight, and that's great. I want to hear it. But at the same time, if you're not serving, I think, from the highest place, I can probably recognize it. I feel I can. And then I probably won't be associating, not through any negative reason other than just I always wanted to be the highest message that we can get out. I certainly have had guests on that probably have misled me or were not what they appeared to be. I don't know. And maybe I found out later a little bit, but there's no guarantees with all that. And I never would say follow anybody 100%. You really have to form your own opinion. And I really think you have to do your own homework. And that's what why I'm at where I'm at now, which is certainly not all the answers, but it certainly has given me a much better insight and a better grip on how to handle what I think is going on in the world right now. And I'm going to go back to where it started for me again, so you have a point of reference. I've talked about this before. My first reference point was a book called Messages from Michael, which is basically a book about reincarnation. Michael being a channeled entity of several hundred souls, if not 1,000, that are on a journey. According to them, you leave, you know, when you eventually leave here, you go on to other places. There's several other levels of consciousness. And at some point, some of us may choose to hook up with another group of several hundred, or the group is generally around, they say the numbers in the neighborhood of around 1,000. But it's all like you combine yourself as one and you experience different things. This could be said about the entity called Abraham, is similar to this, I would say, and is a group of beings, not just one being. And they have been removed from Earth for such a long period of time, or maybe they never were here, that they just pick a name. One of us was called Michael. That's how I got to know the messages from Michael. That's how Michael got his name, was through one of the beings that had been human at one time was called Michael. Other than that, they couldn't remember, or they didn't even they hadn't been called names for forever. So that was a book about reincarnation and a book about why everything happens to us and the cycles that we get on, and we start out as an infant soul and we work our way up to an old soul, and it takes many, 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 many lifetimes. And I bought into all of that, and it seemed to be a truth that I so welcomed once I started opening my mind. I was afraid of it at first. I was taught Christianity and anything outside of that is evil, and that's the big thing to get past that fear. And do I see truth in Christianity and other teachings? Absolutely, there's truth. Do I think there's a bunch of misleading statements? Not to offend anyone, but yes, I think there's deliberate and maybe just misinterpretations. And therefore, I kind of listened to some of that and have read that, but I've kind of moved on. But I'm still open to going back. You know, I still am never going to close anything off. But I just can't see the creator of all things, this being that I think is absolute pure love, as laying all these restrictions on people in order to move on to the next place. So regardless of whatever religion exists, there seems to be restrictions. And to me, and again, I could be wrong, and not to offend anyone, it seems like it's all about control and guilt, and I don't want anything to do with that, I guess. So for me, it's I'd rather go down a journey where I know there's consequences for our actions, because that's a universal law, cause and effect. But it's not done out of anger or punishment. To me, it's done just as kind of righting the ship a little bit. That's the way I see it from my viewpoint. So Michael was my first huge wake-up call. And then Ramtha was the next one, and I still like much of what Ramtha said to this day. It was kind of how it, I think it kind of is my basis for who I am. And I set out on trying to prove the answers to things he talked about, that there was nobody was really talking about alien abductions. Whitley Strieber was, I guess, but these kind of things that were brought up under some of the Ramtha teachings were not, it wasn't popular back then. We didn't have the internet, so you just didn't have a lot of different reference points to support or prove something wrong, or at least in your mind. You can't really prove anything right or wrong, really, when you're dealing with words. And then there was other books I read in between that made some, really hit me, Life Between Life by a fella out of Toronto, psychologist, researching his own patients, and they described what happened to them between lifetimes. There's the memories that I've had of other lifetimes that, to me, Native American and Civil War, I've had my memories of that. And that only became recent in the last 10 to 15 years, maybe. So all these things play a part. My experiences play a part of what the truth is. You know, I've had both parents come back to me from the other side vividly and surrounded by a white light and send a wave of love through me, which I just know, I guess, is the way I would describe it, that this is what we are, this incredible pure joy essence of love. And coming here is by choice, in my opinion. And we've gotten a bit off course, if you will. And some people want to blame God and say, well, why doesn't he step in? He's going to step in. And I look at it and say, this being that allowed us to be, which we are an extension of, why would it choose, pick and choose who to save when you pray to it? Pick and choose when to get involved? I finally had enough. Reminds me of my parents. And it's more like detached is what I would say. And people would say, how can this being allow horrible things to happen? And my answer would be, because we are the ones that chose all this. We are the ones that chose to break away so we could experience this and then have the joy of returning. It was all part of a journey, a game, if you will, so to speak. And we created, basically, I think there were many of us that created all this and also messed with the creation. The creation was a good thing, and then, if you want to call it a good thing, and then there were those that said, well, let's try this and let's do that. Wouldn't it be great if we had? And so we just kept breaking off in other directions, and this is why you have duality in the physical world. Does it exist everywhere in the universe? I'm pretty sure it probably does. Does it exist in other dimensions? I don't think it does. There's other levels of consciousness we can step up to, and I think that's what's happening, is that we're moving. I could be totally wrong. Who do I trust, you know? I guess I just trust me, but I do trust some of my friends, my really good friends that are psychic mediums, and just my own feelings that I sense that, you know, the world is changing. Nobody has to tell you that there's global warming. You can see it really warming up at times, but you can also see extreme weather. Is this caused by man? Who do you trust on that? Mm-hmm. I personally believe in the sources that I've gone to, and they say very little of it is caused by man, and it's actually part of an evolution of the earth, which is actually being aided by the sun. If all of these, the sun, the earth, Mars, all the planets, if there's all divine intelligence and actually like a living entity within these places, then you know they would be communicating. Just like nature communicates with itself. Just like we heard recently how trees, through their root system, communicate with others to warn them or to help them build up resistance or to assist each other. It's so wonderful to design divine intelligence in everything. How animals know how to migrate, or certain types of animals will increase in the years that they're needed. They just know where to show up, where the food is. If there's a bunch of insects, certain types of birds show up. So tell me it's not divinely connected. And I think it's all connected through thought. Thought is what we are in our basis. Can't prove it. But I believe in the story that I've heard more than once, that the creator, the one that created all of us, basically is thought energy. And from that, it spun out other little beings of thought, and then these beings wanted to experience more, and they chose to become beings of light. And then from there, we said, hey, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if I had like fingers and toes and a head? And so we had spirit forms, and then we eventually had physical bodies. But each time we did, we had to lower our vibration, the density level, to, you know, if you think, look at a flashlight and the light, it's transparent, you know, it's, you're shining it, but we are beings of light. I can't explain it. I'm not a scientist, but to me, it makes a lot of sense that when we're vibrating at a higher frequency, we become light. And then the next vibration beyond that is invisible. So that's, I think, us in our truest form. And some of you don't want to probably think that. What do you mean? I'm a little speck of energy. You know, there are people that have talked about measuring what the soul is. And the soul, from what I understand, is right behind your heart. And that's why you feel things in your heart. It's this little tiny speck of energy. And they've actually measured people when somebody dies. And they noticed that there was just an eighth or I don't know what, just a milligram of a difference in weight. Now, what is different when somebody dies? Why would they be lighter? And obviously it points to the fact or potential fact that perhaps that we lose a little bit of weight because it's that little essence of ourselves can actually be measured and leaves the body. I've had people tell me that that have done hospice, that they actually felt another person's energy pass right through them after they passed away, that they literally felt or even saw something leave the body. And I think there's, you know, if you research on that, there's probably a lot of stories about that. A lot of my truth has come from talking to people. I've heard so many amazing stories over the years, and so many of them are so similar, whether it's out of body, near death, or UFOs, or whatever the case may be. A lot of the unknowns, ghosts. People have told me very similar stories. I've had my own encounters which supported that. I've seen a couple of UFOs. I saw what I believe was a gray alien just because I desired that. I've had both my parents come back. I've been in houses where there's been spirits. I've been camping and the spirits were messing with me. So to me, it's very real and it's not something I question. And then also, what I also know is real that animals communicate with us and they often send us signs. I've had a lot of that, especially in the last 10 years, 12 years maybe, with animals. And I think that was connected to when I went to a Native gathering in 2007 because my friend was sick and he had told me he wanted to go. He had tried Christianity and he believed in the Bible, but he said, I want to take a look and see what the natives have to say because I'm kind of turned off by the inner workings of the church. He says, I've seen it firsthand and I don't think it's always about saving souls. Now, this is not a knock on any church out there. I'm sure there are many wonderful people that are just trying to help others. I'm not here to judge any of that. But he told me that he was interested, and he got sick with cancer, and I tried to help him, and he got better for a while, and he was taking some natural products, which were truly amazing, and that's another story. But in the end, he got off of it because his doctor told him to do so. And so it was. I was invited to a wedding. This was back in 2007. And I had a choice to go to the wedding, and I had a choice to go to this native gathering, which I really felt I needed to go to. And in the end, I just knew I had to go to that. And I couldn't get a hold of him, so I went on my own. And it was a wonderful event. I've been to it before, but this was one where I got a chance to talk and hold the feather. But what they told me was some interesting things. You know, it's like you get an awakening when you go to these things. And maybe that's why after that, you know, natives are very connected to nature. And just by going there, I think it opened up my psychic abilities. I think it opened up my connection with animals. And I started having these amazing experiences after that. And then also, you know, one thing they told me about prayer is they said, when we pray, we say a person's name and we focus love towards them. And that helps them decide. Because if you're on that teetering on that point of staying or going, dying or staying, then it's a choice that everybody has to make. And I really believe that too. I believed that before I went out there, that it truly is our choice. Some people say, well, God chooses this. I'm not against you, anybody believing that. I'm not trying to change that. It's just my experience has told me otherwise. And I believe that it only makes sense to me, I guess, that we make our choices in all of these things. This is why God will, why isn't God, God saved my cousin, but he didn't save my brother. You know, picks and choose? I don't think so. Allows us to make that choice? Absolutely. We do all this so we can learn from everything, so we can advance and find our way back to where we came from. Why do we do this? Because we want to. It's not complicated, I don't think. Could be wrong. Not trying to challenge anybody's beliefs. So that night that I went out there and we did some prayers for my friend Jay in 2007, they told me that this would help him either to decide to stay or to leave. The native way of throwing tobacco in the fire and grabbing the eagle feather and saying the person's name. And I walked around the circle inside this giant teepee, and everybody focused on it with me. And energy was incredibly good, and people were so incredibly open. And the next day he died, you know, and it's like, is that a coincidence? I don't think it was. It just proved to me. And then shortly after that, I started having all these incidents. And then also, the coolest thing about Jay is when he came back to me and visited me while I was talking to his wife and just trying to comfort her. And I saw this chickadee on the deck. Now, once in a while, a bird will land there, but this was highly unusual. And that's what I look for. Things that are acting a little bizarre. Because I think animals are very connected, and they really do enjoy serving us and helping us. Some say that they're here to help us on our journey. You know, dogs bring us laughter at many times, which helps us in our healing. Cats actually have the ability to, I believe, lay on you and purr in a certain area. And that purring will heal your chakra. So if a cat lays on your chest, maybe it's healing your heart chakra. Maybe it's laying near your head, like your crown chakra, like my cat did. He would lay right at the top of, kind of wrap his body around the top of my head. And then I would have all these incredible experiences, out-of-body experiences. Not a lot of them, but I had some. And was he just trying to, he knew what I needed. Anyway, this chickadee is, I'm talking to Diane, Jay's wife, and she's sad and said, oh, I wish I had a sign from him. And I said, it was a nice day, so I stepped outside on my deck, and this chickadee is sitting on the 12 feet across from me, I don't know, the width of my deck, and it's looking at me right in the face, and it's talking up. It's just talking. And I thought, well, that's really unusual. You know, I feed the birds from time to time, and they're so friendly, the chickadees. They land, almost land on you, but I've never had one do this. And he looked right at me and for quite a while was talking to me. And I said, Diane, I think your husband's here and I think he's talking to me. And she goes, really? She goes, well, he was a bit of a gabber. And I said, well, now I watched this little chickadee and he flew off to the right side of my house around the corner, which is heading towards the highway, towards the south side of the house. And I walked to the side thinking he was gone. And I looked around the corner and he was fluttering. He was hovering. Now, I've only seen hummingbirds do that. But he was hovering, trying to look in one of my windows in the living room. I said, he's trying to look in my living room. And she goes, he was so nosy. And then he goes, the same bird flies right by me and circles back over towards my garage. So it came right back towards me, circled around, made a hard left, and went down by my garage, and the door was open, and it's looking at my truck. And there's another chickadee over there close by. And it's kind of like he's talking to this thing and he's looking at my truck. And I said, now he's checking out my truck, Diane. Every time the neighbors got a new vehicle, he was out there looking at it. He would not stop doing that. So he's kind of nosy in that respect. And then the same bird, he flies up on a wire above my head, which is I think it's a power wire running into the home. And it's about 8 feet above my head, maybe. And he looks right at me and he says a few more things and then he's gone. Now, tell me that's not something more. That's what I trust. I now trust that animals communicate. I can't tell you how many times this has happened, but it seemed like it all began around that time period when I saw an eagle close to my house And when I saw this chickadee incident, and then it's just been, it doesn't happen all the time. Seems to happen when it needs to happen. The most recent one that I can remember is when my friend Susan passed, who was like a mother. And it was like almost a year later on an anniversary of her death that we had this pheasant show up. I'm sure I told this story before, but prior to that, 2 days before that, I had set my socks down on the carpeting in the bedroom while I was going to bed. I always take my socks off, and the next day I would put them in the hamper. I got up, there was only one sock. I'm thinking, how does that just disappear? So a couple days went by, no sock. But in between then, this pheasant, really weird. Now, I've seen a pheasant around our property sometimes, but he's on the deck. And my wife, Sandy, says, I open up the blinds, and I look out on the deck, and here's this pheasant, and he's looking around, standing on top of the railing. Now, maybe that's something they do, but it just seemed like, I don't know, that's highly unusual that they come that close, and maybe they do. Maybe he does that all the time. So I talked to my friend Brenda, who's been on my show before, a very good psychic medium. She said, you know, pheasants can also be connected to family. And I thought, I wonder if this is Susan. And so 2 days later, the sock shows back up. Now, we all have the theory about the sock and the dryer. Where does it disappear to? Is there a universe that it goes to? Maybe there is. But in this case, the sock showed up. And it was underneath my pillow. Now, there's no way I put it there. There's no way that it got there on its own. I talked about it on the radio, and people said, well, maybe you had sweaty feet that night when you got up, and it stuck to your foot. And it's like, but how did it wind up next to my ear, underneath my pillow? Somebody put it there. I'm absolutely convinced. And then it was shortly after that, I believe, I thought we got a letter shortly after that from one of Susan's family. I'd have to go back and try to remember what I wrote about that. But it was all kind of, to me, it just makes sense that we are being communicated with and we have signs on a regular basis. So I trust that to be true now that I've had so many experiences. And I guess a lot of what I trust is based on my experiences or people that I know very well that have had experiences. It's just wisdom, I think, gained over time, or at least some sort of evidence. What was the term they used for that kind of evidence? That is, I can't think of it right now. But there's a term that they have for certain types of evidence that you really wouldn't hold up in court. So, but that to me is some kind of, at least something. You know, otherwise, would we believe in anything if we had to just go on what we think? I think we're always given the opportunity to see things if we just seek that. What we seek is what we find. And so the more you start to seek it, the more it starts to seek you. Be careful what you seek, they say. Then I was going to talk about, without riling anybody up, because this is a very delicate topic, political things I tend to stay away from because it doesn't serve anybody to be upset and divide. And I think that's why this stuff happens. They really want us. There are those that want us divided. We are more divided now than we've ever been. Now, the people I read columns on of theirs, they write different segments on the Golden Age of Gaia. And a lot of it rings true to me, not all of it. And I'll say that about any guest I have, maybe not all of it quite. There's always going to be a part of me that wants to be a little skeptical or continue to be open to all other possibilities. To me, that's just the healthiest way to go through life. I mean, we have in our core, we know what we believe, but that doesn't hurt to have room for changing your mind. Because if we all did that, maybe we wouldn't have the issues we have now. It seems like people lock onto things and they're dead set. It's either right versus left and left versus right and blah, blah, blah. This ism versus that ism, and they're all, one's better than the other. And it's like, those are all old ways that I believe were deliberately set up to keep us from moving forward and finding greater truth and a better place, a better world. So who do I trust when it comes to the political aspect? I see truth in both sides. I see many, many what I think are fabrications in both sides. I see that if they truly were serving us, they would have made things better. Both sides have had their chance to do so. So when you get elected, again, not to insult or hurt anybody's feelings or try to stir anybody up, something doesn't seem right. One, you got to have a lot of money so you can pay for advertising. Two, you got to have a lot of support from very wealthy people that have lobbyists, very wealthy companies, and they're not just going to give you the money for nothing. They kind of expect your vote in return. So that whole system, the way it's set up, is kind of set up to fail as far as having people that are going to represent us. And many of the people that get in there are so far removed from the common person, do they even know what it's like to be a person that's struggling or just trying to survive, which I think the majority of people are doing, just trying to make a better life. So what I see on Golden Age of Gaia is they tend to support what's called Q. They believe that what Q is saying is the truth. And I've read some things about Q, and I don't know. Now, they think that Q is aligned with the president, and in their light, they don't see the president as a... They see him as somebody that's here to move us forward. He's not perfect by any means. He's not... He was chosen because of his ability to not back down. He has many skeletons, and I'm not here to champion any of that. But I look at it with an open mind and think, possibility with some of this, perhaps. Maybe he is being manipulated to do some things for the better. Maybe there is a big plan in place to change things. If I don't at least explore that and I go in there with anger and hatred, I gain nothing. Now, I can look at the people on the left and I could be very negative about some of them as well and say, really? I don't have evidence on them. And does anybody 100%? So I'm just going to leave it where it is. I know what I feel, what I sense. I'm going to go back to 2016 and the election. And when I spoke to a friend of mine who is a psychic medium, I call her a friend. We really have never met, but she was from another country. And she said she actually was afraid to say what she felt. But she felt... When she looked at the person on the left, there was a lot of connection to a darker entities. And when she looked at the person on the right, she said, person's not a wonderful, at times wonderful human being, but this person is who they are. And what you see is pretty much what you get. And so she was never came out publicly and stated that, and I never expressed that publicly neither to respect her. But it's been a while since we talked, and you'd have to go figure it out. So I feel it's safe. I can talk about it now. But that's what I felt, too. But, you know, we can be wrong with our feelings. And there are so many things that this individual has said and done that are just not necessary or inappropriate. But at the same time, could they be serving the greater good? Well, I think all of us really are, even the ones of us that are apparently not serving it. There's always a purpose in anybody's life. And some of the people who have done the worst things have been what caused us to rally and come together. And that's kind of what I thought when the election took place, that this is going to rally people together. But also I see, well, maybe there's some things that are being addressed. I don't know for sure. And I'm going to leave it at that. And you can... go with it anywhere you want, but I'm just being honest. So who do I trust? Do I trust Golden Age of Gaia completely? No, not necessarily, but I do like a lot of things they say, and I agree with a lot of things. Do I trust these intel sites that support Q? It's like, I don't know. They make a lot of promises. They say, this is going to happen, this is going to happen, and then it doesn't. Some of it maybe does. I don't know. What I do believe and trust is that I think there's no doubt that the earth is evolving. The earth is changing. I think the earth is a living being. I trust that because of when I've worked with channels like Rosalind McGrath, my friend Joy, Melchizedek. We've talked to the planet, and some of you might think that's wacky, but I just felt I was communicating with something, and it just, I feel this connection. So for me, I trust that that was the truth. What is to be gained? What are these people trying to gain? And they could be wrong. You know, the channeling could be wrong. And I've always asked channelers, how do you know you're not being hijacked? How do you know some other lower level entity? And they say, well, because I surround myself with light and I go through a protection and I wouldn't allow anything to mislead me. And that's easy to say, but can it be guaranteed 100%? I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. I would hope that it would be the case. Every person that is a medium or psychic has told me, oh, no, I surround myself with light. And I met some psychic mediums, not naming names, in my time who seem like they're a little bit of darkness around them. You can just feel it and sense it. And then when they start doing their work, their energy changes and they're filled with love and joy. But when they go back to being themselves, you don't always feel it as much. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they... We all have darkness, I think, around us. You can say it all you want, but it's here. So to think I'm walking in pristine light, it's always going to be around. It's just that, do you fear it? No. It's part of what exists here. This is part of the grand design. It was meant to be here, I believe. So we could experience certain things. And this is part of the role that it plays. What is going to happen to us? I guess I wanted to talk about that. And you can draw any conclusion you want. But I see a time when we will. Is it going to be soon? I don't know. But we're going to move beyond what we have now. And so much of it's going to change. And it will all be for the better. But it might go through some growing pains. You know, I read articles that are released by James Tiberin. And I get emails, and I really like a lot what Archangel Metatron has to say. He channels Archangel Metatron. I think that's the only thing he channels. And Metatron talks about a lot of things very openly, some similar to what Raptha did, and he talks about them in detail. I like that. I don't like the vague, well, we believe this, and blah, blah, blah. Give me specifics. So Archangel Metatron says that it's going to be 300 years really before we see any huge change. We're in the beginning stages, which makes sense, since 2012 of the great age of awareness, and it's going to be quite a while before that we see more. Now, there are those who say, oh, no, it's going to happen, and it's going to happen within a couple of years, in a few years. That'd be wonderful. If all this came forward, what is it going to bring forward? I think it's going to bring forward the truth. And some people may be shocked about it, but I think we're going to find out that our government has been involved with crafts, beings from other worlds. They've used that to back engineer technology. I think we're going to discover that. I think we're going to discover that there are these mythical creatures. They've been covering that up too. If you get too much evidence on anything, it will disappear. So they don't want us knowing about all these things because it would change the way we see the world. So all these mythical creatures, Sasquatch and Chupacabra, and all these things that are coming from other dimensions, I think they really have been. And people have witnessed these all over the world, and it's been thousands, if not maybe even millions, of people that have had these experiences, and the experiences seem to continue to grow. Then we're going to find out next that maybe our religion has been lying to us. And again, that's just my opinion. I could be totally wrong, but we're going to find out that it was really created to control us and keep us in line. Because if you fear your eternal soul, damnation, That's one way to keep you from rebelling. Whereas if you didn't have that fear, would you stand up to those in charge? And maybe that would be the case. So don't get me wrong. There's a lot of great things I like about teachings. And I think there's a truth in all of them, especially when it comes to talking about love. But I think that we're going to discover that this was created and manipulated. I think a lot of the things that happen in the Bible, some of them were actual events, but they weren't from God in the Old Testament. Ramtha talked about Jehovah, and he said that Jehovah was a powerful being. He called him a god, but he calls everybody a god. And he had incredible advanced technology, and he basically controlled the Hebrews, I believe, and gave them the Ark of the Covenant, which was this device that could destroy anything. And he was in battles with other gods that were here at the time. And I read a book called The Gods of Eden that kind of suggests that. And now in Ancient Aliens, they kind of suggest that as well. So who do you trust as your... You have to, I guess, draw your line somewhere, what you believe in. And what resonates true within your soul. And go from there. So now, getting back to some of the things that I think are going to happen. We are going to see disease eradicated because really, I think we were designed to not get sick. And I think that we've been tampered with and we are beginning to re-evolve to... Ramtha talked about this and other ones talked about it that I've over the years and more are talking about it, that we need 12 helixes in our body and we only have two. And with the two helix strands of DNA, we can't function like we were fully meant to function, that our bodies were fully meant to be where we could produce anything we wanted, where we could do anything. And we could create everything with our thoughts. So if our brains have been manipulated, which really are receivers and transmitters, then we aren't using them to the full capacity. When we had full consciousness, super consciousness, we would be able to do anything in an instant, which is, I think, what Jesus did, was able to do, because he knew. He had all the tools that he needed to do whatever it takes, whatever he wanted to do, to walk on water, to create food out of nowhere, to pull it out of a basket. Just because he believed it. He made it into reality. He believed it so. He knew it. You know, people say we have faith. Well, faith to me, pure faith, is a form of knowing. And when you're at that point of knowing, then it's real. We create reality every day. Is it that hard to create what he did? Well, you see stories of it, and I've talked about it before. People have had these miraculous things that they've been able to do. And how do they do that? And it's when they stop thinking and they start allowing with the natural part of us to take over. You can lift a vehicle. I wouldn't recommend it now. But in those moments, you know, people have done things and we've heard about it. How do they do that? Well, adrenaline? No, not. Don't agree with that. I don't care how much adrenaline. Do the law of physics. I'm 150 or 60 pounds. There is no way I'm going to be able to lift a car. I don't care how much adrenaline I have. That car is 3,000 pounds. Sure, I can do that. But I think in a moment of truly believing in something and letting go, we all. And then when that moment becomes more and more where you believe it all the time, then that's how you create miracles. We had a fellow in our town that had the wounds of Christ, and he healed. I don't know how many people he healed, but he did have an effect on many people. And so how do I explain that? And it's like, you know, the Catholic Church seems to have more than one that has experienced this. And I would just say that's just another form of, there is some truth in there. And I think that they have the ability to heal others and help others. I think prayer can work. But to me, prayer is, you're asking God. And I just feel that you're better off to send light to send love to help somebody make that decision. But if you want to pray, that's great. But why is it that if we get a prayer chain with all these people focused, does God all of a sudden pay attention? Or does it more of, you have all this good energy going towards someone that continues to multiply? And again, you don't heal them. God doesn't heal them. But they go, you know what? All these people want me. And it's like, I think I'll stick around. I think I'll allow, I had a plan to check out at this age, but now, you know what? I think I'm going to hang around for a while, see what happens. So I think we're given that freedom to make that choice at any time we want. It just because we don't have to follow the original outline of our lives. I think we always have the freedom to change it. You see that again and again, I think. And there maybe would be certain consequences that we've lined up for ourselves if we don't follow that plan. There's little wake-up calls being sent to us. You know, in this lifetime, you wanted to learn great forgiveness, and you're not learning it. So guess what? Tomorrow, a truck is going to run over you. This was part of what you agreed to. And maybe you'll survive. And then you'll have a lot of compassion. Seems like a horrible thing, doesn't it? But it's not. Now, if I went through it, yeah, maybe. But it's all part of the greater lessons to make us more loving, compassionate beings that I think we chose for ourselves. So we ultimately are to blame. People don't want to take responsibility. We want to always shift it on someone else or blame it on God or I'm just a sinful person. And it's like, not to disrespect anyone, but if you allow yourself to see yourself in that way, then you're limiting. Why limit yourself is what I would say. If you use that as an excuse, then you're kind of limiting who you truly can be. We all can change. I'm living proof of that. I wasn't always like this. Not that I was a horrible person, but I had a long ways to go. And I've still got a long ways to go still. But it's because I really wanted to change and put love into my everyday actions. Not one day a week or 2 days a week when I'm in the right mood, but every day with every person. And do I do that all the time? About 80%. There are times you don't want to know what's going on in my head. Sometimes I'm not happy with the way people behave. But that also is a lesson. And I know if I focus on that, I get more of that. So Where I work, I look out the window and these people drive down the street, and it's a downtown area, but because it's always kind of been like a drag strip mentality, there it's angle parking and people go way too fast and they don't want to let anybody out and they get angry if somebody does, and it's like, I don't like being around that vibration, but I guess I don't have a choice, and it's making me just, even though I see something I don't really care for, I have to let it go. I have to make peace with it. You can disagree with it and you can not be happy with it, but you have to make peace with it. And that's the greater lesson. And sometimes you have to speak up maybe when you see something that's inappropriate. And other times maybe just let it go. You know, it's an individual choice for each of us, but it's all part of our journey. I realize it's happening to me because it's part of my journey. It's not just, you know, and I notice it more and other people don't seem to always notice. It's like, yeah, so what if I put my focus on? So if you want your world to change, stop putting your focus on things you don't want to put on it. So if things are bad in your life, find something good and put your focus on it. That's what I truly believe, that whatever why do I believe that? Because it's happened to me. And there was a time I was very negative when I first got in radio and I worked at a very negative place. And I kept getting more of the same to the point where eventually I got fired. And it was a big wake-up call. And I told myself, I'm never going to be that way again to that point. And I was hired to get a job just when I was ready to give up and leave. And I think this was part of my destiny that I planned. Out of nowhere, a station called and offered me a job in Mississippi. And it was really a great thing and opened the door, but my attitude this time was completely different. And I wasn't about to go down that road of everything being so negative again because it just consumed me. So when I changed my tune, I got more of the same. And things have blossomed for me, I think, and I've been fortunate. We've had buyouts at our radio station here where I work. Could have been a really bad thing. Generally, in this business, somebody buys you out, they're going to clean house and cut wages. And anybody that's been there a while, and we've survived it three different times, I think, now. So it kind of tells me I'm on the right path. I'm where I need to be. And if worse comes to worse, I could always do something else, I guess, or move somewhere away. I don't want to move away. I really want to stay here. I really feel I'm supposed to be here, but that could change tomorrow. I trust that, you know, the things that have happened to me have led me to this course where it all seems to be pretty obvious to do this podcast, although I haven't done it recently. Haven't done much of it recently. And I want to have guests on. I really do, but I haven't made time to do it. I know I'm making excuses. I just haven't. Some days I'm here a long, long day, and I just don't. I could come in on the weekends, you know, if I truly had the passion again. I need to do that. But again, if you know somebody who wants to be on here, I'd love to have them. And I will treat them with the greatest respect. Or you have something you want to say, I'd love to hear it. People look at themselves and think, well, what do I got to say? You have plenty. And we could talk beforehand. It's worked like that with just about everybody I brought in that never did an interview. And they say, well, I'm not sure. And then we start talking. And then they realize it's just about talking. It really is. And sharing what you've learned or experienced or whatever. And if it's done with, I prefer that it's done with respect and love, but you are who you are. And I also don't have a problem with that. As long as it's not, you know, as long as we're not going down a path that is going to steer things up, because that's, we have way too much of that right now. And I want to stay away from that. And I welcome people that have, whatever they want to share. Experience to me is the greatest thing to share, because it tells, you know, you can't argue with experience if you've had experiences. I mean, you could. You could say, well, that really, you must have didn't see it clearly, or maybe you were seeing things, or whatever the case may be. You can always find a way to try to shoot somebody down. But to me, that's what's taught me the most. That's what's made me trust things the most, is listening to myself and other people's experiences. That's the number one thing. Everything else, the stuff we get on the news, that we get from political parties, chances are there's a bit of a spin going on. And I think there will come a day, and we're moving in that direction, as hard as it is to see, when this is going to change. There's such a thing called free energy. I think that's going to come forward. You know, they want us to use solar power. And I think, yes, we have to help the planet, but solar power is going to cost us a lot, and then we're dealing with batteries. And when the thing is, there's such a thing called free energy, which could heat all of our homes, I believe, and provide us everything we need. And then there will come a day when we will not have food shortages, because we will know how to create this. And I believe there will come a day when we no longer will get sick, because really illness, I believe, the majority of times is caused by us. We bring this on by not being in balance. And then you say, well, what about innocent little kids that are born with an illness? Well, I explain it this way. They could be carrying that illness over from a previous lifetime and they haven't let it go. Or they chose to be born with an illness because it served a greater purpose for them and those around them. They did not teach you greater love and compassion. And the answer to me would be yes on that. We don't know the whole story behind all of it. So we don't understand. When these things happen, does this mean we turn a blind eye to it? No. Help if you can. Help if you want to. But also at some point we have to be a little detached from things, I believe. If we get so absorbed in everything, then it consumes us. I've seen friends of mine that do social work and how it's affected their health. And they, after a while, had to stop doing it. Even people that do healing, some of them are affected. So there has to be a level of detachment and still love, But also, if you don't take care of yourself, how are you going to take care of anybody else? Anyway, that's just my two cents this week. It's been a while since I did something, so I thought I would talk about who do you trust. And I'd like to hear your opinion. Who do you trust? Without bashing anybody, because I won't promote that. I won't promote that if somebody is... I won't have you on, let's put it that way. But if you come on to present something, that's great. But if you come on to promote one side and then attack the next, the other side... Anytime you project negativity, you get more of it. And I'd rather project love. Not that I do this every day, but at least on this show, we're going to project love and hopefully get more of that. So we always have a choice. And some things out there I know seem so obvious with things that are going on. How do we deal with that? Be aware of it, but don't be consumed by it. And then realize you have a choice. And I really believe, and I trust this, we can all make a difference. And we don't have to do a lot. If you focus on love or things that bring you love, like your family, your pets, or whatever, then holding on to that feeds the rest of the universe, feeds the planet. Just holding that love and that joy, doesn't it reverberate? It's like a ripple in the water. And holding on to the negativity does the same. So if we all want the world to become a better place, the number one thing we can do, we don't have to go leave our homes. Just hold on to joy and love. And if you can't find that, maybe you're in a lot of pain. Maybe you're had some disasters happen in your life. It's a hard thing to, especially when you're not feeling well, to maybe feel joy. Boy, I'm sure happy now. But if you had things in your life that were bad, that too shall pass. I've had negative things happen. My father dying, my divorce happened almost around the same time. Totally zapped me. But it turned out to be the greatest thing and one of the greatest teachers. Often those things to me are some of the best teaching things for each of us. Because you start slowing down and looking within. And our lives are always boom, 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 boom. And we lose sight of what we really are meant to be, I think. And I think this is all by design. The more distracted we stay, the less we look within. And if we look within, maybe we find the answers and maybe we realize who's kind of manipulating us. And then we start to see things more clearly. And so if you have by design, if you create these devices to keep us distracted, addicted, then we don't search, do we? And I'm guilty of it. I get caught up in it all as well. I'm no better than anyone else. I just get, sometimes I get focused and it's like, okay, now I'm ready to roll. And then there are days I know I have a lot going on and it's like, okay. I just take it as it comes. So I wish you well and whatever you're doing. And hopefully finding some peace and joy. To me, it's like since I've experienced that pure love energy, I remember what it was like, and it's, I can put myself close to that when I just especially have moments where I'm in nature or alone or quiet. But I can feel it with people that I care about too. I can, that can well up in me, and it's wonderful. So that's what I would say. But what do I know, you know? Have a great day. Namaste.